We are going to come to God's Word now, so if you have a Bible with you, I'd love for you to open up to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 8 to 21. I want to start this morning asking the kids to do something I think you're probably already doing, and that's little kids, big kids, adult kids, maybe doing the same. I want you to just think about, for a moment, Christmas morning. Are we all there? Christmas morning. And kids, it's only four sleeps away, so I know you're thinking about this. You're thinking about it, maybe even dreaming about it, what it will be like. I don't know how it works in your house, but when our kids were little, I think we started off with the rule that you can't get up before 6:30, which is early, but not as early as they wanted to get up, so that was a win. It morphed as they got older into 7 o'clock, which was nice. You can't wake us up before 7 o'clock. But then our tradition was always to read the Gospel of Luke and to read the Christmas story to remind us first thing in the morning that as fun as the presents are, as great as it is to gather with family, all good things, but the point is Jesus. The point is not to miss Jesus in the middle of Christmas. He is at the center of it all. And then after we read Luke, everybody ran downstairs and attacked the presents and the stockings and all that good stuff. Kids, your traditions might be different in your house. Maybe mom and dad do something different. But what would you say would be the best thing you could discover on Christmas morning? You don't have to answer me out loud. I was hoping that wouldn't happen, but you could. What would be the greatest discovery when you come down those stairs or wherever you come from to get to your presents and you get to the point of finally opening those presents? I can remember this because, believe it or not, I too once was a child, if you could imagine. And I can remember that feeling of the greatest news you could get or to discover is that the thing you wanted so badly, that toy or that sports equipment, whatever it was that you've been looking for, to find that as you unwrap the presents. That was the best news ever, what you've been hoping for. You've been building this thing up. You've been losing sleep over it. You've been bugging your parents, trying to remind them, maybe sending extra letters to make sure those presents were under there. However you handled it, you were hoping and wishing for this present, the big present. And to find that is the best news that you probably could imagine on Christmas morning. It becomes a reality. And I hope you do get that present you've been dreaming of. You're filled with that excitement and joy, happiness. But let me ask you, how many of you, as you open that, again, we're still at that Christmas morning, you're opening your presents and you find that toy, are you going to be completely silent about it as you open that up and just go, little smirk maybe? No, I see kids shaking their heads. There's no way you couldn't contain that. You'll say, look at this. I got it. It's mine. Look, I have it. I finally got it. I can't wait to tell my friends. I can't wait for people to know. I can't wait to use this. I'm never going to leave it. I'm never going to let it be broken or anything. I'm going to protect it forever. You're going to be joyful. You're going to let that out because you can't contain it. You can't contain that kind of joy. You're getting what you always wanted, what you always hoped for, at least for this year. It changes every year, right? My hope for us this morning is that as we walk through this passage, that for all of us, not just the kids, but for us as adults, Christmas would feel a little bit more like that. And not because of the presents we get, not because of the festivities, the fun, the family, all those things. Enjoy those things. Those are good gifts from God. But to be filled with the joy of the greatest gift of Jesus. But in a way that you feel that childlike excitement of that thing you've been hoping for. That's the way we're meant to come to Christmas. That's why we have Advent. It's almost like you're writing your Christmas list for for those 4 weeks. All I want is Jesus. All I want is Jesus. All I want is Jesus. And finally, he's here. We celebrate. Open up the greatest gift ever. Hoping we can build some of that back into our Christmas, that Jesus is the focus of Christmas. He is meant to be the center of our Christmas and the center, really, of our entire lives, not just at Christmas. I want to back up and just make sure we're all starting at the same point, especially if you're visiting this morning. Through these 4 weeks of Advent, we've been in a sermon series. See the graphics on the front here. It's an Advent series called Jesus, Prophet, Priest, King, Savior, and Son. And we've been looking at each of these titles and roles of Jesus that he has fulfilled. It was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. God, in his sovereignty, brought it all to pass, to come to fruition. And Jesus became the ultimate fulfillment of all of these things. And so at the core of these roles is Jesus, the one who comes and meets our greatest needs. That's what we've been saying over the last 3 weeks, is Jesus came to meet our greatest need. We've explained many times that our greatest need, even though we have relational needs, emotional needs, financial needs, all kinds of needs, our greatest need is to be reconciled, be in right relationship with the God who created us. That's our greatest need. The other things, they are important. They're part of our life. God knows we need them, but he knows what we deeply and most need is to be in relationship with him. And that is why he sent his son. And the reason is because the evil of our sin separates us from the fullness of our holy God. The solution to that problem is Jesus. And that's this Christmas story. So the first week in the series, we looked at Jesus as our prophet. He perfectly reveals the words and will of God. He became God's word incarnate. Then we looked at Jesus as our priest, the one who bridges that gap between us, we're imperfect, we're broken, and a holy God. Jesus as priest bridges that gap. Then we looked at Jesus as our king. He rules and reigns over all things, provides and protects for his people. And all that leads us to this morning. This morning's passage, we're looking at Jesus, the one role that we cannot play. Those others we play a less significant but not unimportant part. We all play those roles as believers, as prophet, priest, and king on a much smaller scale than Jesus. But we continue that work. This work we can tell others about, but we can't be this for them. This morning we're going to talk about, as the kids so beautifully played out, Jesus coming as a baby, but for the purpose of saving the world. So we're going to not look back on the whole story, but we're going to kind of take a zoom in for a moment into the scene with the shepherds and the angels and their interaction with Mary. So hopefully it's a little bit familiar now, but we'll read the passage again. So follow along as I read Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 to 21. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is God's word for us to hear and consider together this morning. The kids did a great job enacting this morning, and it was a beautiful thing. That was our introduction to the shepherds and the angels, but the actual scene that first time around was much, much more intense. More intense in that even they were terrified at this vision. If you could imagine, you're out there in the pitch black. You're a shepherd, you're tending to the sheep, you're making sure they're not stolen or eaten by animals, you're protecting them, you're maybe trading watch over this flock of animals, and then all of a sudden this bright light appears that shines over everything, almost blinding you, and what looks like an angel appears to you. This is an incredible event. This is not your everyday average circumstance. It's intense. The Bible says they're fearful. This is God's glory is so intense, his light so bright that it floods their senses and they're not sure what to do. Angels say, "Do not fear," because they bring good news. I was watching A Christmas Carol this week, the 80s version with his name is George C. Scott. To me, that's the original. I don't know about you, but maybe you're watching some of the more modern ones. But I was picturing that scene where Scrooge encounters the first ghost, the ghost of his previous business partner, Jacob Marley. And Scrooge is just terrified. He's terrified because this thing that is unearthly. He can't imagine that this is in his house and what it means and what he needs to do and is he safe? It just gave me a kind of an appreciation for the shepherds that morning or that evening when the angel came. You don't know if this is good news or bad news until they tell you it is good news. It'd be really easy for us to get caught up in all of those things this morning. Easy to get caught up in all those details, the intensity of what is happening, and all that is true and all part of the actual story. But all of that is meant not to show how important the angels are or how fortunate the shepherds are or even Mary, but to show how important and glorious Jesus is. That God would make this announcement of his birth and who he would be, who he'd become, in such a way that it would get your attention. That we're reading about it 2,000 years later proves that many people, believe that it was true. Starting here with our passage this morning. And so the intensity is all shining a light, almost literally, on Jesus. Jesus is the center. He is the actual star of the narrative. My goal this morning is not to try to convince you of how amazing these messengers are or the angels, but how amazing Jesus really is. To help us to see that, I want us to concentrate on the main point that it's all about Jesus. And since I don't know how you could talk about Christmas without using these intense adjectives to describe it, I want to show you three things about the message the angels give. Starts with, and the points are on your bulletin. They'll be on the front screens as well. I want to show you a stunning declaration, a phenomenal offer, and an incredible outcome. See what I mean about those adjectives? They had to be there. Stunning declaration, phenomenal offer, incredible outcome. First, the stunning declaration. The core of that is in verse 11. If you look back in your Bible, we read the angels telling the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." It's worth pointing out here that combination of titles, Jesus as Savior, Christ, Lord, those are not combined anywhere else in the Bible. I tell you that because that means that this is important. It's unique. The author is telling us a lot about Jesus, but he's also saying this is a very unique thing that is happening here. It's also telling us the completeness of the angel's message. They're not giving hints, they're giving away the whole plot. This is why Jesus came. It will be explained, it will be lived out, it will be lived out completely by Jesus. But they're saying this is who he is, this is what he will do. And what gets first place, normally we tell things in order, don't we? If you're in a conversation, you're gonna lead with the punchline. You're going to lead with what is most important because you know you have limited attention, right? So Luke leads with that first title of Savior, which literally means deliverer. The Old Testament, only God is described as the deliverer of his people. God himself was the deliverer of his people. So Luke, the gospel writer, is making sure that we understand that Jesus is God, come from heaven to earth. And this is good news, the gospel, the proclamation that God through Jesus has come to save his people. At the very end of our passage, it says that Mary named the baby Jesus. And why did she do that? Because an angel had appeared to her. You can read that in the previous section in Luke's gospel. The angel came to her and said his name will be Jesus. Why is that important? Why pick Jesus of all names? Because that name is the Hebrew equivalent of that is Joshua. Joshua means God saves. Very literally, Yahweh saves. That's the most prominent Old Testament way of referring to God, Yahweh. Yahweh saves. Jesus' name means God saves. And a name was really important. We find that in our day that you name your kids something you hope has meaning. You usually look that up and say, what does this mean? And you give it to the child, hoping that they will be that person. The angel says, this is who Jesus is going to be, and you will name him appropriately, signifying who he will be. It's not just a name for them. There were plenty of Joshuas in Jesus' first grade class. There's one Joshua that would be the savior of the world. That kid stood out. Right? His name is who he is. I want us to think about that. When we say the word Jesus, the name Jesus, that means God saves. You can't but think about why he came every time you hear his name. That Jesus is called Christ means he is God's anointed one, the Messiah that's been promised throughout thousands of years. Prophets came and told about this Messiah who would come and deliver God's people from occupation, from armies and other countries and other nations, and ultimately save them from themselves, from their own sins, to be able to follow God. And so he makes clear that Jesus was born in the city of David, meaning he's carrying on what we talked about last week, that Jesus is king. He's the Messiah king, the one who comes to redeem his people. That was picked up in Isaiah 9:6, which is actually a familiar passage to us with familiar language to our text this morning. For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, he established it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Foretold thousands of years before Jesus was even born. So what we read in this angelic proclamation is the announcement that God is fulfilling his words. He said it through the prophets. He is doing it. He is completing it. What God says always comes to fruition. Might be in his own time, in his own way, maybe a surprising way. Nobody could have fathomed this would be what would happen. Nobody was waiting for an angel to come out to a field to shepherds. But they were waiting for a Messiah. Like a kid waiting for that one present on Christmas morning. Can't wait to see this thing that is about to happen. Points to that third title of Jesus in that combination, which is Lord. He is none other than the sovereign God of the universe. Imagine that for a minute. You create the world, the universe, and then you come into the world as this tiny little baby to save your people. That is not a human story. We don't make things up like that. We want our heroes to be huge, powerful. And the hero of this story is huge, powerful in that way. But it looks very different, doesn't it? That's the shock of the people, that the angels are saying, well, here is your Savior, your Lord, your Christ, and it's the little baby. The what? Say what now? The baby? Yeah, the baby. That's the one. That's amazing. It's surprising, but God is fulfilling his words. So we see there's not only a stunning declaration that this is the sovereign God over the world who has authority over all things, but it's also calling us to appreciate and consider a phenomenal offer. I couldn't think of a better way to say that. A phenomenal offer, the best offer ever. An offer too good to pass up. You know, like those Black Friday sales you went on Amazon, right? Just too good to pass up. I got to get it now. Hear this proclamation, hear in it an invitation, an offer that they describe, the angels describe as good news. That doesn't do it justice. Our English translation saying it's good news is true. But it's more than that. The good news, the herald of good news, it's this giant announcement that is great. It is amazing. This is amazing news, the best news ever. This is headline news. It's the top of your whatever, your social media feed, your story, whatever. It's all over. It's what should take prominence in everything. And the good news is that Jesus has come. He is the Savior of the world. The best news ever. God is fulfilling his promise. He would provide a Savior for his people. Here he is providing a Savior for his people. Jesus is our prophet who speaks the truth of God, the words of God, our priest who makes atonement for our sins, the king who protects us and guides us and brings us back to him. Later in the book of Luke, he'll make clear that Jesus' his perfect life would become the very thing that he sacrificed to purchase our forgiveness. That his life, death, and his resurrection are all to save his people. That is good news. That is, as I said, it's greatest news, the best news. Christianity of all world religions has the greatest story ever because it is true. It is true. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And God sent angels to announce it. If that doesn't get our attention, I don't know what else will. The most phenomenal offer of all. This is trusting in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus so we can be saved. And I gotta say, it's only good news if you know why you need it. If you don't need something, then you usually turn somebody away. I was thinking about it because it's winter and I'm not doing it right now, but I like to kayak. I like to get out there on rivers or ponds or when we're by the sea, go out and kayak. I know some of you enjoy that. But I was picturing just myself just going down a river and somebody yelling from the side, "Hey, I have a rope. Grab it." If I'm just going down, I would say, what in the world do I need a rope for? I'm in a boat with paddles. I'm doing fine. Thank you. I don't know what you're talking about. But it would turn into really good news if that person on the side continues and say, "Hey, I have a rope. Grab the rope. I'll pull you in before you go over the falls that are right ahead of you." Oh, that is good news. I didn't know I needed that. But thank you. This message becomes more relevant if we know we need good news. We need a rescue. If we know we need a rescue and we know someone rescued us, then you can receive that as good news. So that's the first step in this process, is remembering what they were longing for is the good news that someone would come and rescue them. That Jesus is our Savior is the greatest news, because he meets our greatest need. We talked about that at the very beginning. Our greatest need is to be in relationship with the God who created us. Jesus does that. Jesus does that as our Savior. Without him, we're condemned. We're stuck in our sin and away from God. The good news is God has removed sin from us. When we trust in Jesus, he takes it away, removes it, gives us his righteousness, his abundant grace. There's more to this phenomenal offer, though, and that's in verse 10. And it's phenomenal because of who it's given to. You know, the angels announce, here's a Savior for the world, and who is this for? It says, for all people. Anybody in the room not part of that? We're all people. We're all people, meaning that all people need this good news. There's not one of us that doesn't need this good news. All people, meaning ordinary, everyday people like ourselves, need to hear this good news. The shepherds are partially part of the narrative because they are examples of ordinary people. Ordinary people tending to sheep, that was their job. Not doing anything extraordinary that would change the world as they saw it. Some commentators have called them for years the first evangelists, because they believe what the angel tells them. They said, there's a Savior. He's the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah. Where is he? Bethlehem. Okay. And it's the baby. Okay. But they take it and they believe it. And what do they do with that? They go to see the baby. They receive the great news. They receive the offer, and they believe, they trust what the angels are saying. If you are here this morning and you've been saying amen to all of this, this is the Christmas story, we know it, then here for you, the invitation this morning to say, how is God calling you to be faithful right now? Are you listening to his words that are right in the Bible? Are you listening to them in a way that you say, well, what am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to respond to that? How am I to be faithful in the world that I live in, whether at school or at my job, wherever you are in your neighborhood? What is God calling you to be faithful with from his word? Also, how are you sharing the best news ever? Are you like that kid on Christmas morning? He's here. He's here. Jesus is here. Don't you understand? Jesus is here. He's the Savior of the world. It's the best news ever. Say what? Well, let me explain it to you, because I can't contain it. If we truly believe the good news, we will tell other people. And not in ways that are foreign to who we are. If you're more introverted, you'll tell it in a different way. At different times, you'll find different opportunities. If you're more extroverted, you might just come on out with it. But Jesus knows who you are and how you will share his message. He knew the angels and how they would share the message. But the point is that the shepherds go away glorifying and praising God. Is that what we're doing at Christmas time? Is that the focus of our Christmas celebrations? Glorifying and praising God for what he's done. It's so easy to go through the motions. We're going to this house for presents, going to this house for presents, then we'll go for dessert, then we'll go for more presents, then we'll visit grandma, grandpa, all good things. But that's not what it's all about. Are we finding time in there to make Jesus the center of what we're celebrating? And are we doing it with joy? So far, we received a stunning declaration along with a phenomenal offer, and we're closing with what is an incredible outcome. An incredible outcome. I'm sure it's really obvious to all of us that we are living in a time in history when there's increasing tension, there's unrest, there's violence in the majority of places in the world, I would say in all places of the world. There's wars, there's persecution. Daily stories of gun violence, other crimes. Even in our own town, there seems to be an uptick of substance abuse and suicides in recent history, not unique to us in any way. But because of that, I think we're longing for peace. We want peace. We want there to be peace in the world. One of the incredible outcomes of receiving Jesus as Savior is that through Jesus, God is establishing peace. Peace for us. The angel declares that Jesus was bringing peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. It's a peace not nation by nation, but through single hearts being changed by the gospel, the good news. That Jesus has come to save his people. That through Jesus you can have life now and life forever. And those who he is pleased with are those who are in Christ. He's pleased with Jesus and the work on the cross and his resurrection and his perfect life and all those things. And if we take Jesus as our Savior, we take on those things. We are a pleasing person to God himself. He brings us peace. He brings us what the Old Testament called shalom. It's a fullness of peace. You're at peace with everything. But where that peace starts is first and foremost between us and God. Through Jesus, Jesus comes to answer our greatest need or comfort us in our greatest need, which is to be reconciled, brought back into relationship with God. That's where it starts. Peace with God. If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, you're not yet at peace with God. As Augustine said, your heart will be restless until you find your rest in God. You'll keep running after thing after thing after thing, and it won't satisfy, it won't bring you peace. Until you realize you need this Savior, that this is good news, that you need shalom, full health, fullness, flourishing. And then once you have that peace with God, you have peace with all other things. You start to have peace with all other things. Could you imagine for a moment peace with your circumstances, peace with others around you, peace with yourself that you are who God made you to be, peace in knowing who you really are and knowing who God really is. Imagine that kind of peace, that shalom, all-encompassing wellness, goodness, fullness. This is the way to peace. This is God's plan for peace in the world. Converting one enemy of God to a child of God, one at a time. Taking each rebel against all the things of God and turning them around and bringing them into the kingdom of God to live for God. It's amazing. It's an amazing plan. Not efficient. It's one at a time. That's why he calls his people to share, be like the shepherds and tell other people. That's his plan A. It's his people telling other people. That's how it started. Angel told the shepherd, shepherd tells Mary, Mary's telling the world. And Jesus obviously would tell the world through his life and ministry here on earth. Here's another incredible outcome you receive through Jesus as Savior. Through Jesus, God is renewing our joy. Remember I said I hope we have more joy at Christmas as a result of this passage? The angels told the shepherds that they bring good news of great joy. It's a joy, a heartfelt happiness that's independent of our external circumstances. Meaning if you have the peace of God within you, you could go through the worst things but still have peace and joy in your heart. That can't be stolen away. It doesn't mean all things are good. It doesn't mean you just smile at all the bad things happening to you, but you have a peace. You have peace with God knowing you're a child of God. You have peace with yourself knowing you're the way God created you for the purposes he has for you. You know you have a place in this world, but you're just coming through it and you're going to a place that has all of God's glory contained in it. You're content with your present. You're confident in your future. There's joy in that. All the big things in life are solved in Jesus. I know who I am. I know I'm right with God. I know I'm going to be with God. Everything else, important, but they're details along the life I live. compared to those things. Final incredible outcome we receive when Jesus is our Savior is that through Jesus, God is displaying his love for us. We alluded to that in the prayer we prayed this morning. That was in our Advent reading this morning. Let me remind us what that said from 1 John 4. In this, meaning in Jesus, the love of God was made manifest among us, made apparent to us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. Big word, just means he's taking away from our sins. He's removing our sins from us so that God sees Jesus in his perfection. He's the propitiation for our sins. These things, love, joy, peace, are not just Christmas season things. They are good Christmas season things. But they're not just for Christmas. They're the result of receiving the good news that a child was really born for your real needs to really save you from yourself, your selfishness, your sin, and bring you into the kingdom of God so that you will know where you are headed. The trajectory of your life is headed for glory. The question for each of us that we need to ask as we close is, how are we going to respond, we personally, how are you going to respond to the angel's message? Is it true? Our passage tells us there are a bunch of people around that manger, and everybody heard what the shepherds said. But after that stunning declaration, the phenomenal offer, some of them just wondered at what the angels said, what the shepherds were sharing. They wondered. They wondered, is this true? Can I believe this? Is this really the way it works? All those things that every one of us has or is grappling with. Is this true? Can I trust it? If you're somebody who is still wondering about these things, are you ready to believe them? That's the point of the story. Are you ready to not just wonder about them, but are you ready to do as Mary was doing, to hear these things and ponder them? It means to kind of mull it over. Think about these facts. Think about what God has promised. Think about what he had promised in his word and what he's doing, how this fits together. Are you ready to believe that? Ponder in your heart and mull it over. And then act in obedience in receiving it. Mary was obedient in receiving that message. She pondered over it, but then she did exactly as the angel said she should. She named her son Jesus, just as the angel told her. The shepherds obviously believed the message of the angels. One, they traveled from wherever they were to Bethlehem to tell absolute strangers what an angel, by the way, had told them in the field. Not knowing if they would just smack them and chase them out of there. They had no idea how that was going to turn out. But they believed and they're obedient in believing and in telling others. And they went away. Glory to God in the highest. That's what we said in our responsive reading. Glory to God in the highest. They went about glorifying God and giving all glory to him, praising him. And for us as believers, it's a reminder that we have a Savior. He always will be our Savior. Jesus says in the book of Mark is the one who endures to the end will be saved. There's a persistence in that truth. It's not a one time you don't make a decision this morning to say, I'm going to believe that. It's a decision to continue to be lived out over a lifetime. That transforms your whole entire life. That's the good news of the gospel. Not that you'll be happy for a moment, but that you'll have joy and peace forever. Ever. It will last forever. We have been given good news of great joy, that is, for all the people. For unto us a child was born, the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this is a gift that's hard to fathom. It's hard to receive. Unless we know the feeling of being desperate, we know the feeling of being lost, needy, broken, sometimes feeling alone. But Lord, you broke into all that. You broke into the darkness of the world with your glorious light to be our Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd convict some of us this morning for the first time that we are in need of a Savior. Maybe we walked in and didn't know that. Nobody said that. Nobody's told us that. But maybe we're ready to accept that we need you. Maybe we're willing to give it a try, to believe what you said is true. Lord, I pray that you'd lead some to make that decision this morning. Pray that you would strengthen all of us, Lord, in our resolve to, Lord, serve you as our Savior. Tell others about you as Savior. Lord, these are all things we need your grace to do. Can't do this on our own. So as we close this sermon time, Lord, I pray, continue to speak through your word, your people, and our prayers and praise to you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.